listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We have a very special occasion to celebrate this week. With our Church of the Week, we're going to chat about that in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today from St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois, and St. Luke's in Covington, Illinois, the Reverend Tim Miller. Thanks so much for joining us today, Pastor Miller.
Oh, what a pleasure to be with you, Andy and Sarah. Good morning.
Now, I know that St. John's has a long and beautiful history, some interesting things that have happened in the last, almost decade, a little over, 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. A tornado came through and impacted the buildings there and the congregation and the community. We're going to chat about that and what's happening this week as you celebrate being KFUO's Church of the Week as well. Let's start off with the congregation and maybe the history of St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden.
Yeah, thank you. St. John's was formed in 1846. A group of immigrants had been pouring into the area for a few years, and they were gathering in people's homes. And they couldn't find a regular pastor for several years until finally in 1846, a young man came over from Germany by the name of C.F.W. Schultz, that's spelled with an O. And C.F.W. Walther, the pastor at Old Trinity in St. Louis, he had contact with this young man, and he heard from the people in New Minden used to bring their produce to St. Louis to sell. I'm guessing probably at Soulard Market there. And, you know, Old Trinity's in that neighborhood, and the German Lutherans from there said, well, you ought to talk to our pastor. He can find you somebody. And sure enough, they talked to Pastor Walther, and he connected them up with Schultz, who came out there. And a year later, his fiancée came over. They got married in St. Louis. July 1st, 1847, came out to New Minden. And they moved into a timber frame building that had been constructed by the locals, a beautiful little structure, 20 by 33 feet. There was a partition on one end for their living quarters, 12 by 20. And they moved into there in July of 1847. Lived there 6 years, had two sons there. And by the mid-1850s, the congregation was growing. So they took out that partition wall and made the whole building into a worship space. And that's the building that has been reconstructed and will be celebrating the dedication this coming Sunday. So originally it was a combination parsonage on one end and then the 20 by 20 portion was both the church and the school. And it was in tornadoes in 1896 and 1907. The roof taken off both times, repaired. It was moved once. And in 2013, we had moved it again to a more prominent place. We were going to repair it. And then another tornado came and flattened the building. It was literally pancaked on the ground. Part of the roof was gone. But then there, part of it was still there, and under that, the ceiling, under that, the walls, under that, the floor, under that, the steel substructure from the movers. And that's what we had to work with, and by the grace of God, that's what we've been able to build back and make a modern building with some historic components. So that's kind of what's in our mind these days with this dedication coming up Sunday. There's a lot more to the history of the congregation. We have a Lutheran school. We had our own there at New Minden until 1974. And on September 8th, we are celebrating 50 years since we consolidated with Trinity Nashville, 7 miles to the south. And so we just finished our 50th academic year as a combined Trinity St. John Lutheran school. But that's still a very big part of our ministry to the community today in the Lutheran education.
Tell us more about you've shared such a wonderful story, and I want to dig into so many parts of it. Tell us more about the building, the history of the old 1847 building, how that building served the community in New Minden.
Yeah. So, like I say, at the beginning, the pastor lived there with his family, and they had the church and the school there also. And it was built all local materials. You know, there was not a lot of easy transportation in 1847. So they cut down the logs within a mile of the church, I'd say a mile or two. And they were, instead of just building a rough-hewn log building, they milled these logs into square timbers by hand, you know, not steam or any other kind of power source, but four guys working a sawmill, two guys in a pit, two guys on a platform, and they'd run the logs along the ground and run a big saw back and forth and run through every surface of every timber on all four sides. You know, some of these timbers more than 30 feet long, about 5 inches by 7 inches. And from this, these timbers, they built this building with the traditional building methods, the tongue and groove, or, you know, mortise. I'm looking for the right term here. Mortise and tenon, that's right, you know, and pinned with wooden pins. And this is the same way the cathedrals were built for many hundreds of years. Very durable construction, heavy. And this is why it still survives today, these timbers. So
since the parsonage and the school, the church, were all one building, I have to ask, with the rebuilding and rededication of this, are you going to be staying in the parsonage, in the building, as part of the rededication?
Yeah, what an idea. No, we decided to, at first our plan was to build that partition wall back and have a sort of a little museum, their living space on one side and a meeting place on the other, but we really didn't have any historical artifacts to put in there. We have lots of old documents and some pictures and things, but, and those are best shared, we believe, on the internet, you know, and so everybody can enjoy them anywhere. But it must have been quite a situation to have the all in the same building like that. But they were very content, you know, young couple. So many hardships, you know, they got married, came out there a couple days later, no honeymoon. And I was thinking, well, did he carry her over the threshold? But probably not, because he had malaria. He got sick. And they were trying to find water. And there's a creek running out back there, and she went to get some water, but there are so many brambles and thorns, she couldn't get to the water. So as sick as he was, he had to go and beat his way to the creek and get some water. You know, it's just the great, just had the great joy of their wedding. And now, you know, they're struggling, and that, but that's just the way it's been, you know, joys and struggles and the Lord present through all of that. And Concordia Historical Institute has been a great help to us in all of this. And back in the 1980s, Pastor Schultz's great-grandson donated an 86-page document, Pastor Schultz's memoirs, his remembrances. And he has page after page of detail from those early years, which really brought the story of this building to life. And so, a few years before the tornado, we had decided, well, we had to do something with the building. It was falling down, and we either had to demolish it as an eyesore or else fix it up and use it. And a group in the congregation wanted to work on that, and it became apparent that it was really worthy of being saved. You know, there aren't many buildings around from before the Civil War.
Yeah.
And it's only had one owner for over 150 years. And the history is well documented, you know, everything that a historian loves. So we had decided to raise money and try to get it repaired and able to be used for some things. And then the tornado hit, and then we had to kind of start all over. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion that went into this, because we had to do some soul searching. What is the purpose of a congregation? Now, it's not to repair and restore old buildings. That's not our mission here. We're here for people to hear the gospel of Jesus and grow in that gospel. And so some real pointed questions were talked about. Well, how much is this going to cost? And do you have enough money in your budget to follow it through? And and who's going to see it through, and how are we going to maintain it once it's completed? And we made plans for all of that, but our plans pretty well came to dead ends. But then the Lord intervened and provided in a wonderful way for all of those things more. Just to give you a couple of examples. So on Friday, November 15th, 2013, we had the building moved into its new place over some new footings. And the next Monday, a bricklayer was going to come, and he was going to set some cement blocks as a foundation and fasten the building down and secure it, and then we could work on our repairs and so forth. Well, 2 days later, the tornado came, and so those plans all went out the window. And, you know, again, there was discussion, well, maybe the Lord is saying, why bother with this project? Just take it out in the field and make it into firewood or something. But again, there were a group of people interested and committed. Some new people came on board. A young man named Donovan Holly. He's from our neighboring congregation, Trinity Oilton. Within hours of the tornado, he and his brother came and began salvaging the timbers. And when they built this thing, the builders carved Roman numerals on both sides of each joint so that they could make all the pieces and then in one day lay it all out and assemble it, you know. And that was a big help in salvaging the timbers and charting where each one went so that it could be rebuilt. And we realized we had an insurance settlement. We didn't think the building had been covered, but a couple of years before the tornado, one of the trustees was hit by a tornado in his own farm. And he encouraged the congregation to increase our coverage. And Church Mutual was really good to us, very fair. And so we had over $30,000 in a settlement to help with our costs. And a few years later, we had a young man in the congregation, Todd Twinoffel. He had an engineering degree, at least one degree. And he was our project manager on this. But he got a horrible brain tumor in 2020. He was diagnosed. My brother Herb, who served there in the International Center as first vice president, he had the same tumor. Herb died in 2020. He had hoped to work on this project in his retirement. But Todd, the project manager, the guy who assured the congregation, you know, he would see this project through, he was not able to keep that promise, because the Lord took him. He died in 2021. But the Lord came through with other people, a man named Tom Polchinski from another neighboring congregation, Trinity Nashville. He's worked in the building trades for over 40 years. Great carpenter, skilled craftsman, knows the business inside and out. And we heard he was going to retire over that winter, 21 and 22. And so we asked him, hey, we got this project going. Would you be interested in getting involved? And he looked into it and was bitten by the bug. And when he retired, he took 2 weeks off to go to Florida with his wife. He came back. And then in March of 2022, he reported to us for work every day as though he were punching a time card. He's totally donating all his time and labor for a year. He came to work like that, and that's how the building got put up. That's just one example of how the Lord provided.
We're talking with Pastor Tim Miller of St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois, our KFUO Church of the Week, as they are preparing to celebrate a very special rededication of a church building. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Pastor Tim Miller of St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois, our Church of the Week, preparing to celebrate a very special occasion, rededication of a historic church building that's been through, literally been through the storm and rebuilt by wonderful volunteers and dedicated folks who want to carry on this history and share the story of this church and those who came before them to help build this church, this congregation, and provide word and sacrament ministry in this part of Illinois. Let's talk about what we talked about, the history of the congregation and some of the storms that you faced and how that impacted this early building. Now that the building is rebuilt, how will you be celebrating that rededication, and what does that look like? How will the building be used going forward?
Right. So this coming Sunday, July 28th, we are finally celebrating the completion of the project with a service of praise and thanksgiving and the rite of dedication. And the Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink from Concordia Historical Institute has agreed to be our guest speaker. The service begins at 10 a.m. We'll begin in the big church, which in itself is pretty historic. It was built during the Civil War, also having gone through three tornadoes and everything. But we'll start there. And toward the end of the service, after the prayers of the day, we'll invite the worshipers to process with us out to the chapel. And not quite everyone will fit in the chapel, probably, but they're planning on accommodating them with a PA system outside or whatever, and we'll have the rite of dedication for the various aspects of the chapel there. And people are welcome to come starting at 8:30 for some refreshments and an open house. And we're about 50 miles from St. Louis, 50 miles from the St. Louis Arch, not far off of Interstate 64 in the village of New Minden. So our theme is from Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." So as I've said, you know, our own promises, our own intentions, many times we're just not able to follow through with them. You know, one of the obstacles we faced was COVID. We had a certain amount of money raised, and when COVID came, you know, all the building costs, building materials, those costs just went sky high. But once again, the Lord provided. Turns out Pastor Schultz has a great granddaughter named Ruth Schnacki from St. Peter, Illinois, although she now spends much of the year in Florida. She's in her 90s, very, very healthy and vibrant, vigorous lady, dear sister in Christ. She's been blessed and wanted to share some of her bounty, so she gave a large gift to help us finish the project and, you know, meet the shortfalls. And she's also, on Sunday, we're going to celebrate and give thanks for an endowment fund that she has set up, the interest of which will provide for utilities and insurance and upkeep on this building so that it can be used without being a drain on the congregation's regular resources. So all the concerns that people had have been met, and the Lord must want us to use this building. And so we've got lots of ideas about how to use it. We probably can't do them all, but here's some of the things we're thinking about. Like, you know, just imagine a timber frame building with a natural plaster, and I can tell you about that too a little bit. It actually has cow manure and clay in it from local sources and straw and stuff, but it's a beautiful little interior there in a very intimate, inviting worship space. And it's a modern building, so it has heating and air conditioning to keep people comfortable, because we decided we want to fill the building with people rather than fill it with stuff. Bring people together for worship and teaching and so forth. So we've talked about having a Bible hour there weekly a kind of a 45-minute sort of a Bible study and sing a couple of hymns, say some prayers, an informal gathering time for us to grow in the Word. I'm thinking about the deer hunting season. Would there be a time where we could have a come as you are little service for deer hunters before they go out? Christmas Eve, I think we'll have several candlelight services during Advent and Christmas and New Year's. Beautiful little intimate setting for that. It'd really be a good place for our Advent and Lenten services, the evening services that are not, don't have a huge attendance. We can easily seat 50 people in the chapel. So it's a very ideal place for a gathering of those that size. Maybe an Easter vigil, the kids at Vacation Bible School for opening and closing. We've already had a baptism in there. I mentioned Donovan Holly from Trinity Hoyleton. Their little girl was baptized in the chapel a couple of Saturdays ago. So we're working on lots of ideas. And one close to my heart is to plan some kind of a field trip for Lutheran school students where they could come out for a couple of hours, experience a little bit of worship and teaching in that building that was a church and a school, and talk about the history, and especially in mind to try to inspire young people to consider where the Lord might be sending them. I think of Jesus' words, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. So here is this young man from Germany, Schultz, sent here across the ocean. And as far as we know, he never saw his relatives back home again. We have on a little card a note written by his sister before he left on his travels, and she cut off some of her hair and braided it into a little wreath and stitched it to this little card so that in his travels he would have something by which to remember her. So anyway, he was sent. He first wanted to go to India, be a missionary there. That didn't work out, but they said they need people in America. So you're probably familiar with Wilhelm Leia in Bavaria. He took 11 months of training with him, then they put him on a boat, sent him to America. So anyway, so we want to have these events for Lutheran school students or any young people. And what is God sending me to do? We want them to ask, could I be a pastor or teacher or a missionary? Maybe I could go to someplace unfamiliar. And I should mention also, the sanctuary is adorned with an altar built by one of our members out of original materials, Mr. Ray Hausler. He and his wife Eunice were missionaries in New Guinea. A beautiful little piece. The baptismal font is original, probably from 1853. It was at the Historical Institute for years. They've given it back to us since we have a place for it now. It's a beautiful hand-carved piece that we're so blessed to have. And I'm so glad Dr. Harmerling can come out Sunday and celebrate with us as we dedicate the worship space once more.
Yeah, this is such an amazing event. And as you're talking about all of the blessings that God has bestowed on the congregation and all of the ways that he has provided for this project to be completed in this manner, it's wonderful. And you, as our Church of the Week, we've partnered over the years numerous times and shared stories from St. John's New Minden. Why is it important for you to partner with us during this week, during Church of the Week, to help share your story and also the gospel of Jesus?
Well, as soon as we started talking about this event, you know, it was suggested we got to be Church of the Week. We want to tell this story, and we want our brothers and sisters in the faith to rejoice with us. And you know, KFUO has always been a part of building up our family of faith in the St. Louis area. And when my dad was a little boy, they listened up in Minnesota. You know, there weren't so many radio stations, so they could get it back in the 20s up in southern Minnesota. But and now through the internet throughout the world, right? So yeah, KFUO, and I know you have a big centennial coming up later this year. And we thank and praise God because, you know, this is what it's all about, right? This is what Mrs. Schnacki told me, the lady who's been so generous to us. She said, we're all missionaries. And that's what you're doing there. That's what we're trying to do at New Minden. We hope this building can be used to reach people who might not otherwise be reached. You know, I already had a phone call about somebody wanting a little service in there, and it's not connected with a church. And anything that gives us an opportunity to sit down with them. And the people who taught us timber framing and taught us how to do this natural plaster, you know, we want to get them to come look at the building so they can see what Christian people do and how we too like to use the things in creation that God gave us. We just feel like God intervened and plunked this down for us, and he wants us to use it. So we pray that we'll be faithful in doing that.
How can we follow what's happening at St. John's New Minden?
Our website is stjohnnewminden.360unite.com.
St. John New Minden, 360unite.com. We can follow the story there. We'll share the link in the program notes today as well. Pastor Miller, thank you so much for spending this time with us. God's blessings on the upcoming celebration and dedication of the chapel there at St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois. Thanks for being our Church of the Week as well here on KFUO.
Oh, we're blessed to be a part of it. And thank you so much for having me. And God be praised. He is so faithful. You know, we mess up so much, and so much happens in this broken world. But God is good to his promises, and he'll see us through. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks be to God. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.